You are listening to Waters Church Podcast. Waters Church is a multi-site, multi-generation community of faith on the East Coast of America. Now, for a message from our pastor.
Sometimes trust can be broken. We're vulnerable when we open ourselves up to someone or something that we trust. And when it's broken, it can be devastating. I remember when I was growing up, two times in my life when I was young and naive and that trust was broken and I was left devastated. The first time, I was 5 years old. It was the day after Christmas and I got invited to go over to my friend's house. These two brothers, they were kind of like older brothers to me. I was five, they were about 9, 10, 11 years old. Their names were Derek and Ray, and I was all excited to show them what I got for Christmas. I'm gonna age myself, it was about 1980, and everything was Star Wars then. And I had all the cool Star Wars figures, and I just wanted to show them what I got. And when I walked through their apartment door, they had what was coveted, what was what every kid wanted back then, and it was the Millennium Falcon. I don't know if you remember that, but I wanted that so bad, and I just didn't understand. Five-year-old me looked at them. Now, I knew Derek and Ray, 9 and 10. I knew what kind of young men that they were. Now, I wasn't a saint, but I thought I was a much better child than they were. So I'm asking myself, and I asked them, how did you get the Millennium Falcon? Did you petition Santa for weeks? Did you write him letters? Like, how did you get so high on the nice list that you got that and I got a couple crappy action figures? Well, they started to laugh at me just like you are right now, and I didn't understand it. And then they told me the secret. Spoiler alert, this is why we don't let kids under 10 in the sanctuary. Santa isn't real. And I was devastated. Why would somebody lie to me? Why would my mother, my parents, who I loved, I trusted to feed me, to send me to school, to put me to bed, why would she lie to me about something like Santa? It wasn't that I cared about Santa. It was that I cared that this trust was broken. It devastated me. And it taught me for years to be a little less trusting with people. Second time when I was devastated and lost trust in somebody was my freshman year in high school. First time I actually had a real girlfriend, my freshman year. And we did everything together. We hung out all the time. We actually talked on the phone every single night to like 2 or 3 in the morning. And that's before we had, you know, these things. I had to go to the kitchen, pull the cord all the way into my bedroom, underneath the door, shut the door, next to the door, on the phone, so that I didn't wake up anybody in the house. And I liked this girl so much, she convinced me to read Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, by Judy Blume. I mean, what 15-year-old boy is gonna do that? Well, one day, I'm standing at my locker after gym class, and her best friend comes up to me. And she tells me the devastating truth. My girlfriend had another boyfriend at another school. Oh, I was devastated. I couldn't believe it. You know, so that's just my point. We put our trust in other people. Sometimes that trust is broken. It can be devastating when somebody lies to us. But these days, it's hard to tell what and who to trust. I think people are less trustworthy now than ever before. People actually put more trust in ourselves because of cell phones, you're able to trust in yourself and the knowledge that you find on this phone. You're more likely to go to a social influencer to tell you what to believe, what to eat, and what to wear, and not trust our elders or people that were there before us. People are less trustworthy now than ever. We have CGI, we can't trust our eyes. We have AI voiceovers, we can't trust our ears. We have fake news, we can't trust the media. We have voter fraud, we can't even trust our own government. Right now, there are more scams going on than any other time that I've seen in history because of this in the media. I don't know if you've received this. We get text scams all the time. Somebody will send you a random text. They're trying to get information out of you. So don't answer them or do what I do. My wife hates this. I like to engage in them. I like to talk to them and just, so I'm gonna read you the last one that I got, and this might help you out on what you wanna do. It says, "Hello, Tom." My name's Chris, if you haven't met me. "I got you an extra ticket for the game today." Me, "Sorry, you have the wrong number." Them, "Oh, sorry to bother you." Me, because I'm polite, "No problem, have a nice day." Them, "You sound nice." "I'm in Boston. Want to grab some coffee?" Me, "Sorry, I'm married and I don't meet strange people." Them, "That's okay, maybe we can be friends." Me, "I have a friend I'd love you to meet. His name's Jesus. Would you like to meet him?" End of conversation. Never heard from them again. I actually get these scam calls, and you probably do too, weekly. It's the same guy calling me from a different number with a different scam. Maybe you've met him. His name's Scam Likely. Stay away from him. He calls all the time. I bet that you receive those all the time. I actually got an insurance scam in the mail the other day. And it looked like it came from my insurance company. It was for $155.25. And I was ready to write that check because it said in 2 days we would lose our insurance. And I didn't want that to happen. But because somebody I trust told me it was a scam, they saved me the embarrassment and the lack of finances. So I ripped that up, threw it away, called my company, and yes, it was a scam. Learning from other people can be a huge advantage in life. There's an old saying from an unknown author that says, good decisions come from experience, and experience comes from bad decisions. We should learn from others and their mistakes. And so much knowledge can come from this. Does that mean that because my mother lied to me about Santa, I should never believe her again? Well, no, but it did teach me that I should do my own research and not take everything at face value. Should I have never dated again because some poor young girl with her own set of problems cheated on me? No, then I never would have married the love of my life. Thank you. Marriage, that's another area of trust when you're vulnerable to somebody else, and marriage can be a huge learning experience. Let me help you out, young married couple. I learned this from other people. When your wife comes back from getting her hair done, she looks amazing. When she has a new outfit and wants to know how it looks, it is fantastic, it is beautiful. And when she asks you how dinner tastes, it's the most amazing meal you've ever had. Some advice for you. But also, what works in other people's marriages might not necessarily work in yours or mine. Around Christmas time, I was wondering what to get my wife for Christmas. So I watched a podcast on the 10 worst things to get your wife for Christmas. Guess what the number one thing was? A vacuum cleaner. Guess what I got my wife for Christmas that year? A vacuum cleaner. You don't know my wife. If I got her jewelry, she wouldn't wear it. You should have seen her light up when she opened up that box of that vacuum. You don't believe me? She's here today. You can go bug her about it afterwards. But she loves that vacuum cleaner. We have two dogs that make a mess of our couch all the time, and she's using that constantly. All right, we're going to get a little bit about finances. And there's three people that I trust more than myself when it comes to finances. Doug White is actually an elder here at Waters Church. He's my financial advisor. And if I have questions about the market, if I want my money to work for me, I go to him and I ask for his advice. Me, I'm horrible with money. I am a spender. I get it. My nature is to spend it immediately. My wife is a saver. I have not seen a bill since I've gotten married, but mysteriously, they're always paid. I don't know how she does it. She's fantastic, and I trust her. And I trust her best friend. Maybe you've met him. His name is Mr. Budget. I can't stand him. She talks to him every single day. I'm mad at Pastor Tim for introducing him to her, but he does a wonderful job telling me what I can afford and what I can't afford. So listen to Mr. Budget. So that quote, "good decisions come from experience and experience comes from bad decisions," That's one reason why we should trust Solomon and what he writes in Proverbs for us. Solomon was a man of wisdom, it says, who received so much from God. He had it all. He did it all, the good and the bad. And we are to learn from his mistakes and his advice. And if we trust him and trust this book called the Bible, things are going to go a lot better for you, I promise you. So we're going to read from Proverbs 3, 1 through 10. Would you stand with me? Solomon writes, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on a tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Father God, I humbly come before you and just thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people. Please help me to get out of the way. Use me as a vehicle, Lord God. Take away from my mind and my mouth anything that you don't want me to say and anything I didn't plan to say that you want to say to your people. Please let it come out today. I pray for hearts and minds to be softened and that many people leave here today trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So, who can we trust? Well, I actually want to give you a few things to write down. If you're taking notes, you can pull these out right now. These are paper notes we have for you available at every service. If you're watching online or didn't grab one, you can go to waterschurch.guide right there, digitally take notes. I like to take notes. It helps me remember things when I write them down, and it just shows me that you're paying attention, and you might get to heaven. We'll see. So, seven traits of a trustworthy person. Write these down. Number one, they are authentic. They do what they say they're going to do, and they're easy to talk to. Number two, they're consistent. Consistent behavior breeds trust. They're compassionate. They often have empathy for other people. They'll often put themselves in someone else's shoes. They're also resourceful. They find ways to get things done in a right way, in a respectable way. They're humble. They put others' needs first. They're there for you. They're available. They're there for people to offer their own support. And then finally, they're kind. They're there for someone when they need them. Now, how many people do you know that fit all those categories? Well, I haven't gotten there yet. Maybe one or two human people, but yes, Jesus actually fulfills them all, and he's somebody we can trust. He's authentic. He is who he says he is. He's consistent from the beginning to the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He's compassionate. He wants everyone to come to him and be saved. He's resourceful, perform miracles, water into wine, healings, raise the dead. He's humble, God in the flesh, walking with us. He's available. 2,000 years later, he's there for us to pray to. And he's kind. He's kind because he died for us while we were still sinners so that we can be saved. Amen. It matters who you trust, and we need to be aware of who and what we put our trust in. And we have to be careful who we follow. I want to submit to you that we should follow and trust God and God alone. And I have five benefits for you. Five benefits for trusting in God. Number one, write this down. Trust God for a satisfying and abundant life. You're going to have a much more satisfying and abundant life if you trust God. He tells us to keep his commandments for length of days and years in life and peace they will add to you. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I struggled with this scripture because as I'm reading it, is God literally saying, if you trust him and keep his commandments, you're going to have a long life? I know many people that have lived long lives, both Christian and not. I know many people that have died way too young that were good Christians. So what is God really saying to us here? Well, if you know anything about the Bible actually interprets the Bible. So where else in the Bible does it talk about life and long life? In Psalm 91:16, he says, "With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." That's really what it's about, the salvation that God's talking about. Is he talking about a long earthly life or a long eternal life? What's Jesus say? He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." An abundant life is a satisfying life. It's not always easy. It's not always plentiful with material things, but it is abundant in joy, in peacefulness, in happiness, in satisfaction. And that true satisfaction that God is giving us is the long, eternal life when we put our trust in God and believe and follow him. I lived half my earthly life following myself, trusting my own eyes, trusting my own heart, and I've lived half following God and trusting in him. And I'm telling you, it's so much better. It's so much more satisfying when you put your trust in him. If you do, hopefully you will have a long life without any unforeseen, you know, circumstances. But we do live in a fallen world where bad things happen to good people. But the good news is we have a destination to look forward to, the eternity in heaven. Number two, write this down. Trust God and gain favor with him and people. Gain favor with him and people. Pastor Tim talked about this last week, talking about grace. The word favor actually is translated from the verb that means to be gracious to. It can be translated to grace, kind-hearted, or charm, and it carries the idea of being popular. Who doesn't want to be popular with people? And with God, because that's what the scripture tells us. So you'll find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Who doesn't want that favor in your relationships, with your work, in your finances? Actually, two times in my life, I've received financial favor when I didn't ask for it. Both times, I was going through a big financial change, a big decision in my life, and it was no magic trick, but I received a check, and I won't give you the amount, but it was substantial, and it actually changed my life at that time. And that is nothing but the favor of God, because it's a gift. It was grace. I did not ask for it, but I gladly received it because it changed my life. That's favor from God and favor from man. Sometimes it's small things, and we as Christians can't get up and just looking for these big, miraculous things. Sometimes small things can change us, and we can appreciate this. I was actually on my way back from Peru. Shout out to Peru. Jeff's right here from Peru. With a mighty man of God. I won't tell you who he is, but he's the lead pastor of this church. And we were coming back. You can laugh at that. We're coming back from Peru from a missions trip, and we're about to be on a flight for about 8 hours. And poor Pastor Tim, I saw them seat him. This is one of those big planes where they have like 5 seats in the middle. He was seated right in the middle of all these people. And I'm just thinking to myself, oh, that poor man, he's gonna be stuck with all those people this whole trip. And I'm walking to my seat and I see it's an aisle seat and the seat next to it's empty. And I'm praising God for his favor in my life. And I'm so thankful. And I sit right down in that aisle seat. It gives me so much leg room. I hate the middle seat. I hate the window seat. Love the aisle seat. After about 30 seconds, this man comes down the aisle with this flailing, crying, screaming baby. And I'm sorry, parents, but you might have kids. I know it's hard to fly with them, but I don't want to be sitting next to you if I don't have to. And he sits right next to me. And this baby picks up the menu out of the front pocket and just starts slapping me in the face. And I'm like, why, God? Why couldn't I have that middle seat where Pastor Tim is? Well, about 2 seconds later, the stewardess comes up to Pastor Tim and says, "Excuse me, sir, but we actually have a seat in first class if you like to move." Now, Pastor Tim gets moved to first class. Talk about favor of God. And I'm thinking to myself, why? Why, God? Why this baby? Well, praise God. About 2 minutes later, the same stewardess comes up to me and says, I see you struggling, sir. If there's anything I can do, actually, I do have one seat, and it's in the middle, right over there. I'll take Pastor Tim's leftovers if it gets me away from that crying baby. My goodness, the favor of God. We have to appreciate those little things. I know too many Christians that are grouchy Christians. Don't be a middle seat Christian. Appreciate the good things in your life. Jesus had more favor than anyone from God. It says in Luke 2:40, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Circle favor in your notes. He goes on to say, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. No one had more favor than Jesus. And if we want to be like him, we should emulate him, right? We should try to be more like Jesus. And the more you're like Jesus, the more you're going to see the favor in your life. I didn't say the more you're going to experience favor, because the favor's already there, but your eyes are going to be open and you're going to appreciate the middle seat that God gives you in your life and not compare yourself to somebody else's favor. Number three, third benefit of trusting in God. Trust God and he will direct your decisions. He'll direct your decisions. I think our baptism today, that's exactly what she said. Whatever you're struggling with right now, you're hoping that God's gonna direct your decisions. That's a beautiful thing. Faced in tragedy, faced with hardships. The world actually says now it's not about the destination, it's about the journey, right? Hear that all the time. I fully disagree. Christian, it's about the destination. Knowing where you're going is making that journey so much easier, so much better, so much more appreciative. Knowing you're going to heaven is going to get you through the trials and tribulations of this journey we call life. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We all know this one. It's written on your coffee cup at home. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. You can follow yourself. You can follow other people. But what if you're following the wrong person? Have you, and I believe God actually gives us a great illustration for this in nature. Have you ever watched ants? I'm a nerd, so sometimes I will. You watch ants at like a picnic when they get some food and they're all following each other. They're all in a straight line or a squiggly line. They're all just marching on their way to that food, to and from. Well, I did some research because I'm wondering, how does that happen? They're not using their eyes. They're not using their ears. They're using their nose. There's actually a pheromone that they release so they'll continually follow each other. But sometimes that pheromone gets messed up and whacked up. And it's called an ant spiral of death. I don't know if you've heard of this. It's what it looks like. Look at this. An ant spiral of death. These ants will follow each other in a circle over and over till they die of exhaustion. Christian, be careful who you follow or it might lead to your death and destruction. Maybe you're lacking discernment. Maybe you're saying, I don't know who I can follow. Ask for it. Ask for wisdom. That's what Solomon did, and that's what James tells us to do. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. He gives it generously, without reproach, and he'll give it to him. You need something from God, ask him, especially wisdom and discernment. He wants to give it to you. We need wisdom in our life, in our decisions, in our discernment, and in our finances. And making decisions, if it's relationships, work, school, or money, it's so much better not trusting yourself, but trusting God. Don't be like that ant, right? Follow the pheromones of God all the way to heaven, amen? I grew up in a middle-class family. I went to a private Catholic school. Many of you don't know this about me, but this is my third career as your director of pastoral care. My first one, I wanted to be something else. I was following my heart. I wasn't a Christian. I got a scholarship at the best acting conservatory in the United States, and I moved to New York. I went there following my heart, my own desires, met somebody, got married at 21 years old, not for love, but it was for convenience. We both wanted the same thing. So we moved to LA. We thought we were going to be rich and famous within just a couple years. Ooh, then reality comes in. I did some voiceover. I did some print work, some commercials. And then I thought I hit my big break. I landed a leading role in an independent film. Then devastation came, as it often does. That film didn't get picked up by any of the festivals. They ran out of money. There was a writer's strike, and work dried up. For the first time in my life, I found myself virtually homeless and penniless, and I didn't know what to do. And I cried out to God as I knew him. And he actually brought me from LA all the way back here to North Attleboro, started to change my life. I moved back in with my parents. I went back to school. I started my second career. And then God started to send people into my life to open up my eyes. One day, Pastor Tim came walking through the door, invited me to Waters Church, where I came. I got saved. I got baptized. And praise God, I'm here today. Follow God's direction in your life and not your heart. After the test comes the testimony. After the destination comes the destiny, okay? You can tweet her that. When you put, or is it X now? Is it Xing? I don't even know. When you put your trust in God and not yourself, you're gonna experience a freedom unlike anything else. Number four, fourth benefit of trust in God. We trust God and he's gonna save you from foolishness. He's gonna save you from foolishness. I think somebody experienced that. We know this one. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Now, I'm gonna be honest. Here's another one I struggled with. So God, are you saying if I fear you and trust you, you're gonna heal my flesh? Now, I see miracles all the time. I know many people, especially this last first Tuesday, that came up here, hands were laid on them, they received prayer, and they were healed, physically healed, like miraculous healings. I've seen that. It's amazing. But I've seen people come up also and not get healed. Do they not have enough faith? Do they not have enough trust, enough fear in the Lord? No, because then it's a work, and it's not what God does. It's about him and his grace. So I dove deeper into this because I wanted to know, God, what are you saying? Why do some people get healed physically and some people don't? You say if we trust you, you're going to heal us. Well, the word flesh here actually translates in Hebrew to navel. Navel. Why? In the ancient world, the navel was actually a symbol or an illustration of nourishment. This little dead belly button thing we get here. Why is that? Think about it. When you're in your mother's womb, you're attached to an umbilical cord to her. Through that, you receive all the nourishment that she puts into her body. Everything she eats, everything she drinks nourishes you and your life. And God says, through our navel, he's gonna refresh us and heal us. Well, what does Jesus say to Nicodemus? What's he say that you must do to enter into the kingdom of heaven? You must be born again. When you're born again, Jesus reattaches that umbilical cord, but this time to himself. He says you will not hunger, you will not thirst. He refreshes you, he fills you with his nutrients. That's what God is saying here. Not he's gonna heal you physically, he's gonna heal you spiritually and forever. We need to trust Christ, not ourselves. I like the first part of this too because Solomon is constantly warning us about being foolish and not to be foolish. He says in Proverbs 28:26, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but who walks in wisdom will be delivered. I hate to say it, but the world is foolish right now. So much of the world is foolish. Everybody's following their heart. Everybody's told to follow their heart. Even with money, we're following our heart. And if you follow your heart with money, you're gonna do foolish things. You're gonna try to impress people. You're gonna buy that expensive car that you don't need. You're gonna buy those new clothes that you don't need. You're gonna waste it on going out on things that you don't need. Don't follow your heart with money or with anything else. Don't be fooled in your finances. And don't trust your heart. I can't say that enough. Matthew says it. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. The heart is wicked. We can't trust it. I know this goes against everything that the world says, but God is counterculture. And if we want to be close to God like him, we also need to be counterculture. We see so many crazy things. I know you read them. I know you get the TikToks of all the craziness in this world. I recently read about this 50-year-old man in Canada who self-identifies as a 15-year-old girl. I'm surprised you're even taken back by that because we hear so many stories now. But of course, in Canada, his job is gender studies. He's a professor of gender studies. So this 15-year-old man self-identifying as a 15-year-old girl is teaching your children what to believe about their sexuality. And this used to be insanity, but now it's celebrated. They don't just celebrate this guy, they actually let him compete in swimming races against 13 to 15-year-old young girls. They don't let him just compete, they let him change in the locker room with young girls. In my day, this man would be locked up, beat up, arrested, and thrown into an insane asylum. But now, praise God, he's celebrated. God warns us about this foolishness. And there's another scripture. This one just recently came true to me, but check this out. It says in Romans 1:22, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, and animals, and creeping things. This is crazy. This is prophecy, and this is happening today. It's one thing. I can't say I understand it, but it's one thing when you identify as a different gender. It's another thing when you identify as a different age. But there's a group of people out there, they call themselves Therians, and they identify as animals, as cats, and as dogs. I'm aghast. Human beings identifying, this is exactly what this scripture is saying. 0.5% of the population identifies as Therians. That might not sound like a lot. That's 40 million people self-identifying as dogs and cats. It's one thing for me to tell you about it. It's one thing to read about it. It's another thing when you experience it in the wild. I did a couple weeks ago. This young man I call Dog Boy. I was at the dog park with my two dogs. And I heard barking behind me, and it didn't sound like a dog. This young man was dropped off by his parents to come to the dog park to play with other dogs. I couldn't believe it. He asked me, "Can I play with your dog?" I said, "You'd like to pet him?" He said, "No, I want to play with him." My dog ran up to him and started shouting, started barking right in his face. He said, "Oh, I guess he's scared of me." I said, "I'm scared of you." He had makeup on and whiskers you can't see, a tail, ears. I'm sorry for this young boy. I've seen him working at a pet store. I pray for him every day. This is foolishness of the world. Don't trust this. Trust in God. It's sad. Trust in God or you're going to fall for anything. Number five, if you're taking notes, trust God and he will provide for you. Honor the Lord with your wealth, your first fruits, your produce, and your barns will be filled in plenty and your vats will be bursting. So many people say they trust God, but they ignore the part about money. And I get it, money can be a tough issue, especially if you're struggling. But you might be missing out on the next level that God wants to take you. You might not be trusting him enough and you're missing out in the blessing that he has for you. I don't believe in a prosperity message. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to tell you if you write a big check to the church, you're going to receive one back. But I will tell you, if you trust God, he's going to supply all that you need and more. And God actually says to put him to the test. It's the only thing he says, test me on money. Malachi says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse and there will be food in my house. And thereby, put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more. We once had a financial campaign based on this. And we asked people that weren't tithing 10% to consider doing it. Consider doing it for 3 months. Test God as he says. And if you don't see the blessings of God in your life because of your trust in him, we will gladly give you your money back. One person out of 400 people asked for their money back. And I am convinced that that one person went through some hard times. They had a test in their life and they stopped trusting in God. They were robbed their blessing and they put their trust back in themselves and money. But God's gonna supply all our needs. He says in Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It all comes from God. It all goes back to God. From the air that you breathe to the money that you make. When I first came to Christ about 15 years ago, I was almost $20,000 in debt. I was living at home with my parents. I didn't make much money, but I trusted in God. And even when I made just minimum wage, I always tithed. And I believe because I trusted in him, he's blessed me so much. Hasn't always been easy. I lost both my parents at a young age. There was a time when I didn't have a place to live. There was a time when I didn't have a job. I was single and saved for over 10 years. But after the test comes the testimony. We trust in God, and God is faithful when we put our trust in him. I have wonderful people in my life now. I love my job. Not only am I out of debt, but I actually have savings in the bank. I have the best wife I could possibly ask for. And 3 months ago, we just bought our first house. Praise God. God is good. Trust in him, finances included, and you won't be disappointed. Last thing to write down, sermon in a sentence. If you trust God with all you have, you'll have an abundant life now and an abundant life for eternity. That's really what it's all about, trusting in him, trusting in his word, trusting in his promises. And that main promise is that Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. Have you ever thought about that? Why Jesus died? Why he died on a cross? Actually, some write a tree. Well, I was thinking about this. Adam and Eve, first, when they sinned, stole from a tree. And Jesus was put back up on that tree so we could undo the curse. Adam and Eve first stole from the tree with their hands, and Jesus was pierced in his hands. Jesus was pierced in the side. Eve came from the side, and Jesus was making atonement for the one that first led us all into sin and temptation. Jesus had his feet pierced. Well, the first prophecy of Jesus coming is in Genesis 3:15 that says, God said to Satan, you will bruise his heel and he will crush your head. Jesus had his heel bruised, but he crushed the head of Satan. One more. They put a crown of thorns on Jesus. The first curse of creation. God cursed the land and said, from it will come thorns and thistles. Jesus took that curse, placed it on his head, reversed the curse, gave us back our blessing. If we believe in him, we have freedom in Christ. Trust in God. Trust in Jesus. Don't trust in yourself.
Thank you for listening to this message from Waters Church. For more information or to visit one of our local assemblies, please visit waterschurch.org. God bless and have a great day.